pays attention. And no doubt, most of us would say that yes, God knows everything. And we've often said that God keeps a record book. There's a song. And we'll say, and at the end, when all is judged out of the books. And that's the 66 book. And I will say today that no matter how much we may paint the picture, no matter how much we try to say one thing, God knows. God sees. God hears. And heaven pays attention. So with the help of the Lord, we ask you to pray for us. We're going to read just two verses out of Genesis chapter number 18. I'm going to read verse number 20 and verse number 21. Verse 20 and verse number 21. We ask you. Is it on? Genesis chapter number 18, verse number 21. And the writer says, "And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father. I can never thank you enough, Lord, for that wonderful day, that wonderful place. Lord, Father, we thank you enough, Lord, for the reason why. And Father, we pray today, Lord, that we would just have a heart today to hear what you have to say. Reminded when the writer in Hebrews chapter 2 said we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Listen, any time we let them slip. And Father, we pray today not just for the words to come out, but we pray they come out with your Spirit. Don't matter, Lord Father, who the man is. What matters is the Spirit is. Lord, we pray for your Spirit. Give me all the unction, Lord, to say everything I ought to say. Lord, also not to say anything that wouldn't bring glory to your name. And Lord, Father, would not cause the light to shine on Jesus. Father, we pray today for every heart that's here. We pray for the congregation. That Father, we'd all be surrender and submissive unto your will and to your ways. I'm reminded, Lord, that it says that in Isaiah, your ways are high above man's ways. And your thoughts are high above our thoughts. Lord, may we surrender and submit unto them today. May we not be standoffish in heart, nor may we be stiff-necked in spirit. Lord, we receive this word, which is able to save our souls. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. We all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Most of us do. Thank you, Brother Logan. We all know the story of how that God now sent those angels because of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. We see here that the sins, the cry of their sins, had made their way to the ears of the Lord. And long before the sins that were crying unto the Lord, they had been negligent of being slothful, being lazy, having excess and taking their ease. When those things happen is when the other worse sins come creeping in. And I used to say this, and the Lord showed me pretty hard, and I had to ask Him to forgive me. Because we always like to say there's no difference in sin. Oh, there's difference in sin. There's difference in the Bible when it talks about sin. There's differences in the way the Lord sees things and receives things. But nonetheless, the Bible says that He saw the things that they's doing. And can I say we're living the day and time now where folks are living a life in sin abandoned, like they think no one's a-watching and no one knows. But my Bible tells me God sees and God hears, and He's paying attention to everything. That's reminded here in Sodom and Gomorrah that God's the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah reached unto the Lord. He was going to make sure of those sins. And can I say, amen to Abraham? Abraham's praying, trying to make an interceding type prayer, if you'll have to, for those that are righteous living in that land. Because Abraham had a relative in Lot and his people. But can I say the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah came up into the presence of the Lord. And as we said, the days that we're living in now, some folks may not realize this, but our sins were still, the Lord pays attention and He hears. I don't know why we've gotten to the place in the church world, but it has, where folks seem to think that God excuses sin. The main topic now, amongst now that they've moved on from a report from a man about the president, now they're all up in arms. A certain state has banned abortion once they find a heartbeat. You know, they've done that in the state of Ohio. The governor signed a bill. In the state of Ohio, if a baby has a heartbeat, they are no longer allowed to abort that baby. I say praise God and thank God for that. I'm not praising the governor, I'm not praising the legislator, but I am praising God for that to be done. I want to say this, those things, and we live in a world where a lot of people says, well, preacher, it's modern day, it's 2019, it's not old time religion no more. I beg to differ, friend. There is he that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah said there's a way, there's a path that we should seek out and we'll find rest for our souls. But in those days they said they would not walk in them paths. But I find that way is God's way. It's not man's way. And we find in John chapter 14 that Jesus is that way. He is the truth and He's the life. We're living in today's time where people says, well, I but truly the world does not go by what God says. Truly the world doesn't go by what Jesus says, because if they would, they would try to follow Jesus' ways and Jesus' examples. And friend, can I say this? God sees the acts of sin. God knows the acts of sin. He hears of the acts of sin. And can I say, it won't be too long now until He'll recompense, He'll reward the sins as He did in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm reminded in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. God saw it in the days of Noah. He saw how their hearts, how they had turned themselves over to do nothing but sin and sin wickedly. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't read where God tried to help those people out. The Bible says that it repented God that He ever made man. He knows the heart of the individual. He knows what the person's thinking. Be reminded of this, that God is the maker of our walk. God is the maker of our life. And there's nothing that God says. There's nothing that God does. There's nothing that God knows that is going without a purpose. I'm reminded that when the Bible says that God's Word goes out and it serves the purpose by which He sent it, and it will not return unto Him void. The Bible says that He saw the wickedness of Noah's days. He saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah's days. And the Bible says He's seeing. The Bible says God's a hearing and He's a paying attention. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Lot, shall it be the return of the Son of Man? He said, as it was in the days of Noah, He said, so it shall be the return of the Son of Man. For in that day they were eating and drinking and marrying. They didn't care what was going on. They was living their life, did not care about God, did not look towards God. And God saw those things, and God rewarded the wickedness of those days. Y'all listen to the preacher. Too many times people will say, well, I like them feel-good messages. I like them messages that speaks to my heart and encourages me. Well, friend, here's some encouragement in the world that we're living in. Sin just keeps me abounding more and more and more. I say this, I like what Paul said in the book of Romans chapter number 6. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I'm glad that God sees all the sin. God knows all the sin. And heaven's a paying attention. All the sin, but God's got an answer and a remedy for all that sin. Oh, He's got a Son who died upon the cross, who died of their sin. Can I say this? God is not shaking His finger at sin. He wants to treat people and kill people, but God gave His Son to open up His arms real wide to love them, to bring them from their sin and die for their sin, that they may be forgiven from their sin, but also delivered from their sin. I'm reminded that no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, no matter how rough it gets, God still sees and He knows and He's paying attention. I find that the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 5, He saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. He said it wasn't just a little bit of sin, it was a whole lot of sin. It was great big sin. And it in the earth. That means no matter where you went, no matter where you look, there is sin abounding everywhere. I mean, if it wasn't abounding, Brother Eddie and people was doing it, they was thinking about how much it. When they thought about how wicked they could get, they thought about more wickeder ways that they could get into to have pleasure in sin. My Bible tells me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, the Apostle Paul, and it's not only my Bible, but it's Bible too. He said that when perilous times was coming, and he said this all the way back then, that men shall be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And I cannot say this, but we find it in Genesis chapter number 18. We find it in Genesis chapter number 5, that their thoughts of their heart was wicked only continually. Not a good thought in their heart, not a good thought in their mind, and some folks may not like it, but I've heard about the Hollywood elites, I've heard about the popular people or their highfalutin people or what they would call the people that matter. They said they're going to start boycotting states and boycotting this and boycotting that because people are doing things wrong according to their eyes. Eddie, I hope they boycott everything. I hope they stop acting. I hope they stop doing it. The best way for them to stop doing it is for our people to stop watching it, stop listening to it, stop paying attention to it. And the Bible says in those days, God saw it, God heard it, and He's paying attention. May I remind everybody here, it doesn't matter who we are, it doesn't matter where we fall into the cracks, no matter where we put in our spot, God sees and God hears and God knows our life. I'm reminded that no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter how we paint ourselves, God still knows. When people, somebody says, well, preacher, them people don't know. Somebody says, well, preacher, no one knows my sin. Nobody knows my sin. And you may have it pretty hidden, covered up, but God sees your sin. I've said this many times before, and it's not meant to be funny, but they said Elvis Presley lined his basement windows with aluminum foil, thinking that God couldn't through aluminum foil of the sins that he was committing. Many of people thought God couldn't see what was going on. Friend, God's got an all-seeing eye. He knows exactly what's happening. It don't matter if you're young. It doesn't matter if you're old. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor. It doesn't matter if you're a singer or a prayer, a Sunday school teacher, or just a lay member in the congregation. Can I say this? This Bible is not just the lost. It's just not for the church. It's for every man, woman, boy, or girl. Every man, woman, boy, or girl. Every soul. This Bible says that God sees, God hears, and God knows. Set the heavens paying attention. God saw the wickedness of Abraham's days. God saw the wickedness of Noah's days. He did destruction unto them. Getting a pleading in today's day and times that we're living in. God sending preachers to preach and sending preachers to preach. And I've heard preachers tell me all the time, they said, preachers, not too many people getting saved around here, and they've resided to that fact. See, those are the days and times we're living in. We shouldn't resign to the fact. Lie and to tell people of Jesus. Why? We want to try to take as many with them as we can, because it will wrap up here after a while, because God sees and God hears and heaven's paying attention. I'm reminded the Bible says in Proverbs or in Jeremiah chapter number 32 and verse number 19, great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of man, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Can I say this? I'm reminded this in Galatians chapter number 6. And I love the book of Galatians, one of my favorite books in the Bible. And I love specifically love chapter 9. It tells how we're supposed to live and how we're supposed to walk. And we hit the lost world in the first part of this. But I want to hit this, Brother Josh. Even us saved folk, God sees and God hears and God knows. Heaven's a paying attention. The Bible says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. That means you can't get away from it. You can't hide from it. My Bible tells me that in the book of Acts, Paul said that at one time God winked at the ignorance of man, but has commanded men everywhere now, every man, all men, every man, to repent. Oh, can I say this? It says God is not deceived. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. God knows exactly what's going on. He said, for whatsoever man soweth, that he also shall reap. If he shall sow unto the flesh, he shall reap of the flesh corruption. But if he sows unto the Spirit, he shall reap life everlasting. Y'all with the preacher? I find in today's day and time that oftentimes people don't realize it, but we are reaping what we're sowing. I thank God today that we can still sow. I still thank God today we can still plow and plant some seeds. Don't get me wrong. I ain't saying nobody has ever been able, everybody's in trouble if they can sin and came short. I'm not saying this, but I'm just going to let you know and myself know, and we all know, God sees and God knows and heaven's a paying attention. Can I say this? I'd rather sow unto the Spirit than sow unto the flesh. I have been guilty of sowing to my flesh, and I have reaped the corruption. Some things you just keep reaping and reaping and reaping. Oh, that's why it's so important to hear when the preacher preaches. That's why it's so important to hear when the Spirit's beckoning. That's why it's so important to hear when the Bible's being opened up and read. That's why it's so important to follow the instructions. That's why it's so important to try to walk the best that you can. Walk in the ways of the Lord. I've heard people say, well, preacher, we're not perfect, so why do you expect us to be perfect? Because the Bible demands perfection. The Bible demands perfection. Said, preacher, are you perfect? No, I'm not. But I'm glad the Lord ain't done with me. I'm glad He ain't giving up on me. I'm glad He ain't thrown me into the heap and the pile of forgetfulness and the pile of destruction and dysfunction. I'm glad He's still there working on me. I'm glad He's still working on my heart. He's still working on my mind. He's still working on me to have me more than what I'm supposed to be. And that is the image of His dear Son. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God knows when it's bad and God knows when it's good. May I say this once again? God sees and God hears, and heaven's paying attention. He knows when the bad things are going down. He knows the evil thoughts that you might be thinking right now. He knows the thoughts that you're having in your heart and the ways that you're thinking towards people, or the ways you might be thinking towards the message, or the way you might be thinking towards God. But friend, can I say this? God doesn't want to kill us when we do wrong. God wants to forgive us and bring us into a God. Repentance is turning from your ways and going God's ways. Repentance is taking sides with God against yourself. Repentance is doing what Jesus commanded in the Gospel of Luke, that unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Can I say God sees and God hears and God in heaven is listening? And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 5, verse number 21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and He pondereth all His goings. Not only does the Lord see what we're doing presently, but God knows the track that we're on. There's a certain phrase that was given to me a couple months ago, about maybe a couple years ago actually, when a dear brother of mine told me, he said, preacher, he said, time will show whether or not if we followed the Lord right or if we followed the Lord wrong. He said, it's just the way that it is. He said, but I'm glad God knows our heart. It doesn't mean we will not reap what we sowed. But he says, aren't you glad that God doesn't throw us away? Somebody listen to the preacher. I'm glad that He sees and He hears, and heaven's paying attention. May I say this? We will have to give a recompense. We will have to give an account for what we do. But aren't you glad today that when God sees and God knows, He doesn't leave you in a state of not knowing? He will always come visit you as He did in Sodom and Gomorrah. He'll come visit as He did in the days of Noah. And oftentimes I hear people preach and you say, preacher, when does God check upon me? Every time I do something wrong, God checks upon me. I've heard the preachers preach in this pulpit, not just myself, but the others that's preached and hit my heart. They missed my toes and hit my heart. Show me where I came short. Show me where I wasn't doing correct. Show me when I wasn't following with 100% of my heart. And yes, it's bitter. Yes, it's hard. It's a bitter pill to swallow. But can I say this afternoon or this morning? I'm glad that God still sent somebody my way to tell me where I stood. I'm glad He sees. I am glad He hears. And I'm glad heaven's paying attention. I find that in Daniel, if you'd like to flip to Daniel chapter number 5, in Daniel chapter number 5, I want to read some scriptures out of here. I want to say upon those lines that not only does God see and God pays attention, but God always sends the message to show. God sends the message to be a part, to show you and help you along your ways. And can I say this? Many a times have we said the preacher has preached my heart and preached my life. But can I say I'm glad, though, after the advertisement had wore off, after the pleasable fruit, as the writer of Hebrews says, comes after that. But here we find Belshazzar, the one that's in the presence of Daniel. Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, if you'll have it, grandson. Daniel chapter number 5. And he's got it, and he's a-looking, and he's a-doing things that he ought not to do. He's having himself a time party with all the princes and the Lord. He had themselves a great feast. It says in verse number 1 of Daniel chapter number 5, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. That means not only did he invite the thousands to come party with him, Byram, he had thousands come to watch him party. He wanted everybody to see just what they was a-doing. He wanted everybody to know what they was a-doing. He wasn't... It says, though, in verse number 2, Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines therein. Not only was the party now not just a part of the princes that were 1,000, but the thousands that were in attendance, but now he's getting his whole family involved in it. Now he's getting everybody to take a part in it. And not only is he having to get and take a part in what he's doing, he's wanting to bring the vessels of the Lord to be a part of it. Mark this down and know this. There's people right now, we're not realizing, they think it's a bunch of hooey, Brother Eddie. They think it's the preacher doing something on his own. But there's many people don't realize that we are the vessels of the Lord. There's vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. And friend, I'd rather be a vessel unto honor or not be a vessel at all as to be a vessel. That we're to purify ourselves even as he is pure. Why? Because we are to be that vessel. And they were taking the vessels of God and making them of an earthly thing. They were making them of a carnal thing, and they was making them of a fleshly thing. Notice the Bible says that they drank wine in verse number 4, that they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron and wood and stone. They was praising the things of the earth. They were praising the things of the world. They was thinking it was by the things of the world the reason why they are. They're praising the things that they had took, they're praising the things that was shown unto them. They was taking those things, Brother Eddie, and thinking that it was all out. But notice what happens in verse number 5. As in that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. The king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and the knees smote one against another. Can I say this? He saw what was being writ on the wall. He saw that was doing the right. Can I put this in 2019 speech? Can I say this? I don't care who you are. I don't care how much churching you've had. I don't care if you've been raised up in it or not raised up in it. Write a message upon the wall. Somebody's shoulder, tapping on somebody else, asking if it's God. Sister, they know it's God. Hey, Belshazzar knew there was something different. His countenance changed. He was troubled in his heart. The Bible says his loins loosed and knocked together. That means he had no more strength to stand on his own. He was troubled. He was convicted. He was seeing that there was something that was going on. Wasn't adding up. And he wasn't looking around at nobody else. He was looking in his own heart. Y'all with the preacher? Some of you are thinking right now, man, preacher, you've been preaching like this. I mean, we're about done, ain't we? It's been an hour. Oh, it's only been about 15 minutes. Don't worry, we'll get to the good part. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We find that in these scriptures that Belshazzar, he wasn't doing as he was supposed to do. He wasn't following as the way he was supposed to follow. He was doing things all on his own. And the Bible says that it taught him so much. When that hand appeared upon the wall, that he began to say, get all the astrologers and get all the magicians and get everybody that we can get in the kingdom, and they can find out what the interpretation of this was. Can I say this, Brother Kenny? You can't go asking God, asking the world to give you what God's written. Brother James, we can't ask the false prophet and the false person, the magician and the witch, friends and the people that we run with. We can't ask this. Can I? We always know what the message from God is. When God speaks to our heart, you ain't got to ask nobody to interpret it for you. When God deals with sin, you know he's dealing with sin. We may not like that he's dealing with sin. We may not like that he deals with our heart. And I ain't going to ask nobody else for a show of hands, but I can raise my hand and say, I don't like it when God deals with my sin. I don't like it when God deals with my heart. It doesn't make me feel good. It's bitter to my belly. I feel sick to my stomach. I feel like I failed. I ask God to forgive me. I beg God to forgive me. But I find out in John chapter number 1, the Bible says, if you've sinned, if you're faithful to ask to forgive you of your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I say, praise God, hallelujah, that he lets somebody know when their sin has come short. Amen. He told Belshazzar, he said, if sin comes short, thank God Belshazzar's wife knew who to call. She called the man of God. She said, he's got a different spirit. He's got a spirit of the God that your father followed. So he called for Daniel. You know what Daniel said? He said, Belshazzar, he said, man, your daddy had walked this way, and God cut him down. And when God cut him down, he cut him down in front of everybody. And when God cut him down in front of everybody, he also lifted him up in front of everybody. He said Belshazzar, he cut him down because he was prideful in his heart. Belshazzar, he cut him down because he thought he knew better. Belshazzar, he cut him down because he sinned and came short. We can go through all the list of sins that we can describe or apply to Nebuchadnezzar's life. We can do all kinds of things, but God still cut him down. When he thought that he was higher than God, Brother Eddie, when he thought that he was above the Lord or he was the reason why things went, God cut him down. And can I say this? We can think as much as we want, and we may not put it on in front of nobody else, but I know there's been times, and I admit it, I was one of them that done it, that I thought I knew more than anybody else. I thought I was smarter than anybody else, and I thought I was more powerful than anybody else. And Tina, you know what he did to me? He cut me down. He cut me down, but he didn't leave me down. Because he seen, he heard me, and heaven paid attention. And he helped me. Belshazzar had all this, but he still wouldn't turn. Man of God told him what it meant. He said, you're weighed in the balance, buddy. He says in verses number 23, he said, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought vessels of this house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not nor hear nor know. It's funny how we always want to go to the things it doesn't see, doesn't hear, and doesn't pay attention. But the Bible says that God, in whose hand thy breath is, in whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. That hand was sent from the Lord. That hand was sent from God to give Belshazzar the message of his sin. And can I say it's not popular no more? I've heard people get upset. The preaching that gets done here, don't you think that's a little bit too hard? Don't you think that's a little bit rough? Preaching on this and preaching on that. Can I say this? Without the preaching against sin, where would we be? Where would we stand in the scheme? Where would we stand in the presence of the Lord if there wasn't a man of God preaching against sin? I hear more and more people today starving and looking for peace, Brother Byron. They're going to places where the gospel is no longer preached. They think the gospel is the good news, so they should never tell anything. Can I say this? You wouldn't know what good news is if you didn't know what the bad news was first. And oftentimes, the bad news is a good medicine, but I'm glad the bad news is not the cure. Jesus is the cure. Y'all still with the preacher? Some of you are looking like you swallowed a bug. You're thinking I'm trying to hammer. I'm not trying to hammer. I'm giving you the message that God give me. You can't get by without knowing that God sees and God hears and the heavens are paying attention. I listen to certain men. I will listen to preaching sometimes a lot and sometimes not at all. And there's one feller, he preached a message along these same lines, and I heard him preach. God showed me. He said, preacher, he said, here's what I want you to preach. Let everybody know I still see and I still hear and I still pay attention and heaven's still paying attention. But in that very same book of Daniel, when he saw what was going on with Belshazzar, I'm glad in chapter number 3, he heard some people standing for right. He heard those three boys, Ananias, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm glad in Daniel chapter number 3, we find here that God's seeing and God's in the hearing and God's in knowing and heaven's paying attention to what's going on around Nebuchadnezzar. We all know the story. We know the story how Nebuchadnezzar had that image of gold. Now, then three Hebrew boys were to bow down at the music, but they wouldn't bow down at the music. Everybody else was bowing down, but those three Hebrew boys, they wouldn't bow down. They weren't aged veterans of the religion. They weren't aged veterans of those who knew all kinds of scripture, but they was ones who singled themselves out, separated themselves, and sanctified themselves for the use of the Lord. And they was not going to defy themselves with the king's meat, and they was not going to bow down to any image. Can I say that's what we need today's day and time? It's people not to bow down to an image, people not to blend in, people not just to go along to get along. And can I say this? It's not that we should be obnoxious to where we stand, become the soreness of everybody else's life. But friends, somebody's got to shine a light. Somebody's got to be the road sign to point towards Jesus. Somebody's got to be the road sign to point towards an everlasting God who sees with eyes, who hears with ears, and heaven's a paying attention. The Bible says that when they didn't bow down, Nebuchadnezzar got mad and says, I'm going to throw you in that fiery furnace. He told them to stoke it up 7 times hotter. He says, will your God deliver you from the furnace? They said, we only know this. They said they was not careful to answer him. That means they wasn't going to be scared. That means they didn't waste no time pondering the thought, seriously praying about it. They already knew how it was going to stand. They said, oh God, they said, oh Nebuchadnezzar, know this, whether our God will deliver us from the fiery furnace, we don't know if he will or if he won't. But they said, we know this, we ain't going to bow down into your image. And the Bible says, we all know the story, them in that fire bound. And when they looked into that fire, Nebuchadnezzar did, he saw 4 men loose and unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and the form of the 4th man was likened unto the Son of God. He wasn't like a sons of God. He wasn't like some other son. He wasn't like some other God. He was of the Son of God. Oh, can I say, he sees and he hears the conflict. He sees and he hears the confrontation. Oh, you might feel being thrown in the fire, but friend, no, he sees, no, he knows, and no, he hears, and he'll walk through the fire with you. I'm glad he sees, I'm glad he hears, and I'm glad he knows. I'm glad in 1 Kings chapter number 17, and 1 Kings chapter number 18, and in 1 Kings chapter number 19, he heard the prayer and the words of the prophet Elijah. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter number 17 that he was to pray that it rain not for 3.5 years. And Elijah said it would not rain. He told him, told Ahab it would not rain. And it did not rain. He went to the widow's house and he told her, he said, the widow to get hit, get to a meal, and your barrel will not run dry, neither will your curse run empty of oil. And it did not. When he was on Mount Carmel in chapter number 18, and he was to have that sacrifice, and the God that answered by fire was the God that they should worship. And the Bible says that the people of Baal, the prophets of Baal, prophesied all day long and prayed for their God to hear them, but their God didn't see them. Their God didn't hear them. And their heaven was not paying attention. But as soon as Elijah had put the stones together, put the wood together, put the sacrifice together, put the water all around it, he called upon the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And the Bible says that God sent down fire and consumed the sacrifice, and consumed the wood, and consumed the stones, and consumed the water, and the dust underneath the water. Friend, I'm glad we got a God who sees. I'm glad we got a God who hears. I'm glad we got a God where heaven pays attention. Not only is it for the bad, but it's also for the good. Can I say, I'm glad that God knows exactly what's going on. And in 1 Kings chapter number 19, Ahab or Jezebel had told Elijah that because all those prophets of Baal were slain and killed for them worshiping wrong and worshiping other gods, she said, so shall that be this same day or next day. She said, you'll be dead with them. And Elijah said, I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than nobody else. He said, Israel wouldn't turn at my preaching, and he was going to give up and quit. But I'm glad that God heard Elijah. Oh, Elijah, and heaven paid attention. He said, I've got help coming for you, Elijah. I got something to give you strength and walk on, Elijah. And by the way, Elijah, in 2 Kings chapter number 2, see death, I got a chariot coming your way. I'm going to take you up on out of here. God sees and God hears, and heaven's a paying attention. Though you may not think nobody sees your labor, though you might not think nobody's paying attention to your burden that you're carrying, the work that God's having you to do, it's not whether or not if everybody else looks. If God's a looking, because God is looking, God is hearing, and heaven pay attention. And when you think there's no way you can go on, there's no help, and there's no one that can pick you up, friend, God will always have someone to help you, because he sees, he hears, heaven's paying attention. I'm glad, not only for Elijah's sake, but for ours too. Because Elijah was spoke of in James chapter number 5. And the man James, the apostle James, he said this, Elijah of manlike passions as we are. And he prayed that it rain not. For 3.5 years it didn't rain, but he prayed again. God heard his prayer and it rained. That brought forth its fruit, the land did. The Bible says in James, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is my prayers any worth anymore, preacher? Before I can ask, I ain't giving up and I ain't quitting. I'm going to keep on praying. And can I say this? I ain't quitting. I'm not surrendering. I'm not waving the white flag. I'm keeping on keeping on. Because God sees, God hears, and heaven's paying attention. Can I say this? I'm so glad that He does. He's wonderful. I'm glad He knows exactly what He's doing. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse number 15, the eyes of the righteous and His ears are upon their cry. I'm glad there's peace in the Word. I'm glad there's a promise in His Word. I'm glad it states wholeheartedly that His ears are open. Not only, but His eyes are open too. Can I say this? Even in death, God sees, God hears, and heaven pays attention. The Bible says in Acts chapter number 7, Stephen is preaching a message that nobody's alike him. Stephen's preaching a message where nobody's amening. Stephen's preaching a message that nobody wants to hear. But he still preaches it. And the reason why he still preaches it is because God says preach it. The Bible says that when Stephen was preaching, they got mad at him. And they came at him and began to drag him out and to stone him. I want to get this correct. That way I'm not messing around with exactly what he says in Acts chapter number 7. In Acts chapter number 7, we find that as Stephen is preaching, and Stephen is letting it rip, verse number 55 at Acts 7, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He's preaching. He's letting it go. It's his first message. It's his last message. It's his testimony that attaches to him, not only being a believer, but also being a doer of what he believes in. I find that when the hard times come and trouble comes, the Lord's looking for the few. I know they use it for our military, the few and the proud. That means they're not ashamed to stand for what's right and what's truth. We find that Stephen's standing for what's right and he's preaching it. He didn't go to the congregation that believed like him. He didn't go to the church that believed like Stephen. He stood and preached where God had him stand and preach. And when Stephen preached, they come at him. But what did Stephen do? He looked up, and when he looked up, what did he see? He saw God watching, God hearing, and Jesus was paying attention. I've heard many old preachers say that's the only place in the Bible you'll find where he was standing at the right hand of God. Now, this is just me. You can pack this home or you can leave it here. I'd like to think when every saint of God passes from this life, I believe Jesus is standing there watching their departure and looking for their coming. I love the scripture in Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. Heaven sees, God sees, hears, and heaven's paying attention. I'm so glad that in death, God still knows exactly what's going on. Y'all still with the preacher? Should I quit? Are we having enough? Go on. I get one amen and I'm going on. That's good. I find that not only that, but when it ever gets too rough and gets too tough, I'm not one of them who thinks we're going to have to endure some kind of wrathful indignation of God. Why don't you believe that, preacher? Because the Bible says we're not the children of wrath. We're the children of light. But I find this, that when it gets too rough and the cries go up, He'll send for His people. You believe that? Exodus chapter number 3 and verse number 9 says, now therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me. I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. And the Bible says that's Jesus to deliver. I believe when the church finally gets to the place where they cry and cry and cry. Now I've heard people say, preacher, how much lower can it go on? I don't know, because the sins are crying up. The church should be crying up. And I believe one day after a while, here pretty soon, that He that will come and He will not tarry. I believe He'll come and Jesus will come and get His own. As Moses come out the people of Israel, I believe Jesus is coming to get His church. He's heard her cry. I believe He's seen her plight. I believe He's heard the part of the sorrows and the pains that we've been in. He's that. He hears that. And the Bible says that the angels don't know. Jesus the Father in heaven knows. Me and Noah was talking about it. Only God knows. And when God said she's over, she's over. I've heard people say, preacher, they've been saying that for generation after generation. Can I put it this way? Paul said it back in his days, that perilous times shall come, and perilous times came. He said there shall be a great falling away, and there was a great falling away. He says the love of many shall wax cold. Many has waxed cold. And friend, how much closer now are we to the Lord's return? How much closer now are we to going home than we were in the beginning? He sees and he hears. Can I say this is the last part? All the host of heaven rejoices over the repenting of one soul. Heaven takes notice when that person gets saved. I don't know how they get told. Now, if the angel holding the everlasting gospel flies throughout heaven and says, Josh Stover got saved, or Noah Faulkner got saved, or who all got saved. But I do know this, Jesus says, in the presence of his angels, there's rejoicing. I believe God sees the plight of you, lost person. He sees your condition. He hears the moaning and the groaning of what sin is doing in your life. But what he and what he hears and what he wants to see and hear is you to come to him in repentance. Paul put nothing from you but testifying both to the Jew and the Greek, repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ. I have found many a people. Salvation is not shaking the preacher's hand. Salvation is not sign your name upon the card. Salvation is not just making a good conscious choice. Salvation is when the Lord deals with your life and deals with your soul. And when he deals, he'll also show you the way of escape, which is Jesus Christ. Preacher said, somebody said, well, can you describe it to you? I've been trying to describe it now for 20 years, Brother Roger. And at my very best, I can't put it all into words, but I do know this. He still sees, he still hears, and heaven's a paying attention. I wonder today if you're here and you're lost. I wonder here and today if you're still in a condition. I'm not asking you if you're a member of a church. I'm not asking you if you're a member of Mount Zion. I'm not asking you if you have a Bible. I'm asking you in the presence of the Lord, the presence of his people, are you saved? God sees, and God hears, and God knows. Heavens are paying attention. I think they get excited. It says they rejoice. I think they really put it on. One preacher said it like this. He says there's three kinds of rejoicing, three places where rejoicing takes place when a person gets saved. One, the rejoicing is in heaven, as we just said. Two, the rejoicing is in the church. That's where we're supposed to be. Thirdly, it should be happening in the heart and the soul of the one who just got saved. We preached a couple Sunday ago, but we've forgotten we've been purged from our old sins. Because if we remembered where God saved us from, we'd sing a little bit louder, praise a little bit longer, we'd sing a whole lot sweeter. I don't know about you, but it's a fearful thing to know that God sees and God hears and heaven pays attention. But on the other hand, and I like it, it's good that God sees. God hears and pays attention. I don't know where you're at or walk. I don't know where you're at and are in this life. I know where I am. And I know where I need to be. How about you today? I'm going to ask if Paul gets a song. Those that come. Every head bowed and every eye closed. No one looking around as they're coming.